Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. A new research report has ranked the most attractive employers and the key attributes young talent wants in the wake of a pandemic world, and Google, Microsoft, and Apple are some of the ones on the top. The report also shows that students prioritize high future earnings above all other employer attributes. Secure employment rose sharply in importance for young talent, jumping by as much as 4 ranking points for engineering students. Universum, the global leader in employer branding, surveyed over 221,800 students in business, engineering, and IT from the 10 largest economies between September of last year and May of 2021 this year. The survey asked students which employer characteristics are most influential as they consider future employment and which employer brands they most admire. Here today to tell us all about this report and this U.S. talent survey is Courtney Kutsop, Managing Director of Americas for Universum. And welcome back, Courtney, to EPN.
Thanks, Eric. Thank you for having me. So happy to be here.
Yeah, good to talk to you again and looking forward to getting an update of sorts as well. So tell us, as we understand, Universum continues to put out some fascinating data as it applies to young talent and what they prioritize and look for in employers. What are some noteworthy findings about this report? Get into that further as we kick things off.
Yes, you're right. You're right. We have a lot of new updates since the last time we chatted. And so recently, Universum put out some new data. It was a global study that we had conducted. We call it the world's most attractive employers. And we're essentially looking at the 10 largest economies. We're Universum survey. So every year we're going out and we're surveying over 1 million candidates, asking them, who do they want to work for? Why? How should companies communicate with them? And so we took that data from almost 50 markets and we boiled it down and we looked at just the 10 largest economies. And we started diving into the data and we're definitely seeing some interesting findings. I think a couple things we're really seeing is one, really this shift in both personal and career priorities. I think you spent a lot of time, and myself included, talking about, you know, this great resignation that is happening. It's really occurring all over the world. I think, 15 million workers have quit their jobs in the U.S. since April. So the pandemic has really prompted candidates to reevaluate what they want from an employer and from a career. And what our research is showing is that industries with sort of those long, grueling schedules may face a bit of a challenge. And I think we're seeing some short-term and long-term shifts. So, you know, definitely job security, high future earnings are becoming really important to young talent. But eventually that may fade, right? That may lessen. But I think what's happening is longer term, it's really requiring that companies and employers take a step back and start to reevaluate their employment offers to understand why is this great resignation happening and really dig deep into that and use it as an opportunity to tweak their offering, to reevaluate the way that they work. I mean, yes, our data is showing that young talent, they want pay, they want benefits and perks, they want the job security. But I really think more than that, they want to feel valued by their organizations and managers. They want that safety and they're really craving the human aspects of work.
Yeah, some good information to get things underway here today. Now, who are some of the top employers in business, engineering, and IT this year? And did any of these companies shift from the previous years?
Yes, that is a great question. So we, as you would expect, a lot of technology companies ranked in the top. We're seeing the Googles, the Microsofts, the Amazons of the world. On the business side, what tends to happen is, of course, there are technology companies ranked highly, but we see a lot more of the professional services companies ranked highly in the top. For example, Deloitte is ranked at number 4, EY at number 7, KPMG at number 8, as well as the banks. JP Morgan comes in at number 9, Goldman Sachs at number 11. So they tend to make up the top 10 or top 15 of the rankings. But then when you shift to engineering, what's interesting is, yes, we see the Googles and the Microsofts of the world ranked number one and number two, respectively. But then we start to see a lot of automotive in the top. BMW comes in at number three, for example. Volkswagen comes in at number seven. You know, the more traditional engineering manufacturing companies coming in at the top for engineering. And then if we look at IT, which is more the computer science, computer engineering that a lot of companies are going after to recruit, it's really about, you know, looking at these tech companies that are ranked highly in the top. And so it's a bit of a mix of the Googles and the Microsofts, but then you see an IBM, an Amazon, Samsung ranking at number seven, Cisco at number eight, Sony at number 10. And so it's really a bit of a mixed bag. But what's interesting is as we dive into the data, what we're finding is that, you know, with borders shut, international mobility significantly more difficult, candidates are showing less interest in foreign companies and multinational careers, which is also interesting. So we are seeing a lot of global companies here, of course, ranked in the top. But when we start to dive into some of the data, in some markets, interestingly, like in China, for example, it's a lot of the national local players who also rank high. And so that's why you're seeing some of these Huawei's, Sony's coming up in the top, because, you know, they're real strong national players in those markets. And when we look at some of these companies, I'll give a few examples of, you know, things that we think that they've done to really kind of stand out. I mean, I think one example I look at is PepsiCo, ranked pretty high in the rankings this year, very global, well-known consumer-facing brand. But this company is investing over $500 million and committing to invest in and address real changes in Black and Hispanic communities. So things like scholarships, recruitment. They're also doing a lot of things around, you know, getting podcasts in front of candidates to educate them on what it's like to work in the industry. So it's those companies who have really taken that step forward to say, okay, we can no longer go on campus. We can no longer be in person. How do we turn this virtual, right? So PepsiCo did a podcast called Flipping the Fair. We're also seeing companies like KPMG, who is one that did increase quite a bit in the rankings all over the globe this year. Very well-known professional services company, hiring tens and tens of thousands of young talent, like many of the other big four firms. They have increased in the rankings this year. And as we talk to them, I mean, we can definitely tell that they're investing more in employer branding. They're spending a lot of time localizing their value proposition. So, you know, taking what we call the EVP, the employer value proposition, which is, you know, their pillars, their unique messages, the proof points that really make them an ideal employer. And not just having the global EVP, but being able to localize that to key markets, to key functions. But they also talked a lot about how they were able to get leadership buy-in early on. And so once they had to move from that, you know, in person to virtual, they really tried to do a lot more smaller events with leaders. So things like individual coffee chats that a candidate can have with a leader. Of course, it was virtual, so they may not be having coffee per se, but it was a chance for them to interact with leaders in a more one-to-one format that, to be honest, if we were still going in person to events, probably wouldn't have happened because leaders get so busy, it's harder for them to travel. They were able to take that time and that investment and that money and put it into more of these intimate virtual interactions.
Yeah, really appreciate the thorough response and coverage on that. That is most helpful. Now, also another question that kind of tags on to the last question. What makes these companies attractive to young talent? I'd like to hear some details on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a couple things. They are able to address a bit of that hybrid work model that this talent is really looking for. And so as you can imagine, now as we're getting back to a bit of a new normal, they are, you know, the virtual, the hybrid workforces, I think are really here to stay. Talent leaders kind of need to pay attention and not adopt a one-size-fits-all approach, especially with young talent who they do see a bit of a downside in some of these virtual work formats. But honestly, when we talk to talent and we ask them what is their biggest concern when working remotely, they say it's really feeling isolated. And the companies who are, if they are going into this virtual or hybrid, which is most what companies are doing now, is they're really identifying, you know, and talking a lot about addressing those, that feeling of isolation, right? To make sure that everyone can feel included, that they're doing virtual events, that they're finding ways for colleagues to meet up if they work in a location somewhere together. And so really making sure that they're addressing anything that comes with that feeling of isolation. And I think they're really spending a lot of time investing in, as I talked about, the EVP. So not just localizing that EVP or their employer value proposition, but it's making sure that they're infusing that EVP through all of the touch points. So re-looking at the candidate experience, re-looking at the employee journey, and a lot of companies are talking about, we're really going through the process now of re-onboarding all of our existing employees. So just like when a new person comes in and they need to be onboarded into the organization, they're doing that for all of their existing employees. They're saying the world has changed so much. Things have gone all over the place in the last 18 months. It's time for us to re-onboard all of these employees. And so they're really going through and addressing all of these candidate and employee touch points throughout the journey.
Certainly is fascinating and interesting, all these details, and really appreciate your joining us once again to give us an update today. We're joined by Courtney Kutsop, Managing Director of Americas for Universum, the global leader in employer branding here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN. The Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, earlier this year, we saw that the COVID-19 pandemic changed much of the workforce to a hybrid model. I think you touched on that just a little bit earlier. Does the research show that this hybrid model is working?
I think it's working to an extent. What our data is showing is really that young talent, they do still want a bit of that in-person interaction, right? And I think that is being missed, right? Because as I said, when we asked them if they want to work remotely, over 70% of candidates who took our survey said, yes, I do want to work remotely. However, their concerns around feeling isolated, not getting that same training that everyone else would have, especially for young talent. I think it's one thing for, you know, a working parent like myself, right? We've been in the workforce for a while. We're probably used to working remotely. We're kind of enjoying it because we can be with our families. But for someone fresh out of school who needs to build those relationships and have that interaction with people in person, I think they are really missing it. And so it might be a short-term fix. I think what the data is really telling us is it's the flexibility, right? They won't really necessarily turn down a company if they say you need to come into an office 5 days a week, but they're asking, can I have the flexibility? Maybe it's 2 or 3 days a week where I have to come into the office and the rest I can work remotely. So it's still to be determined. I think there's a lot of unknowns. Companies are trying to address it. Talent's trying to address it. But overall, it's a bit of that mix, that hybrid approach, having that flexibility to come into the office a few days a week and then work from home the rest of the week.
Also, another question for you, Courtney. The report finds that employers should consider talent personas as they build their employer branding efforts. Get into those details a little bit there. I'm sure listeners would appreciate that.
Yes, absolutely. So this year, for the first time, we looked at, through our data, 5 different personas. So for example, someone who is a go-getter, right? What is it that they're looking for in their career? If they're a globetrotter, a groundbreaker, a change maker, a balance seeker, those are some of the career profiles that we looked at this year. And it's really giving employer branding leaders a data-driven way to kind of evaluate their talent branding. And so, for example, there might be a company who's really interested in a go-getter, and these are people who are focused on high performance, rapid promotion, prestige. So it's really allowing companies to take a look at their internal culture and the type of people that really do succeed within their organization and build personas around them to say, how do we find more people like them, right? And are these the ones that are driving our business forward? Or are there this other audience that maybe we know we need in the future to transform our organization, but for some reason they're not attracted to us? And so how do we start to communicate a message and deliver on something that is going to attract this audience that, you know, we may not have tried to recruit before? And so groundbreakers are another example, right? Their dynamic work environment they're looking for. They want the challenging work, the innovation. I think that's mostly when you think of those top-ranked ideal employers. The groundbreakers are the ones that are mostly attracted to those companies, right? They're the ones who are innovating, they're having the challenging work, they're embracing the new technologies. But I think that's the type of persona that most companies are trying to go after in some cases. So it'll be really important for companies to understand, what is it that drives a groundbreaker? Are we attracted to them? Are they fans of us, or are we actually losing talent to them? And then use data to figure out how to really target them in the channels where they're present. We know this year that talent's using more channels than ever before to learn about a company. And so as they're interacting with them, infusing and injecting their message in all the channels where, for example, these groundbreakers are present.
Courtney, also, do you believe that the new findings will help steer talent leaders that may be stuck in reactionary mode? What's your thought on that?
I think so. You know, I think a lot of companies are in that reactionary mode right now because of what's happening. Like we said, the Great Resignation, it's causing everyone to be a bit in that reactive mode. And I think if we can all just take a step back and really evaluate, you know, why is it that people are leaving? And I think there's a lot of scenarios and theories out there. For some people, they just said, it's really, I've been working for so long. This has been exhausting. It's been a really hard time these last 18 months. I just want to take a step back and reevaluate my career and my life and my choices. And I think if companies can use this data or any data to first understand, why are people leaving their organization? What is it that's going to attract the talent that they're trying to recruit and retain ultimately? And really take a look at their employer value proposition and refresh it. Use this as an opportunity to refresh their EVP so that it is not just true to who they are as an organization, but it's also a bit aspirational as well. Where is the company going in the next couple of years? But most importantly, using that external data to understand, for the audience that we're going after, is this message going to resonate with them?
Just a couple more questions before we conclude. Now, how does young talent prioritize compensation, career aspirations, and other benefits in the report? I'd certainly be curious to hear some feedback on that.
Yes. So interestingly, if we look on the business side, the top three preferred attributes are high future earnings at number one, training and development at number two, and leadership opportunities at number three. These, for the most part, have increased from previous years. If we look on the engineering side, pretty similar, high future earnings at number one. Innovation now comes up at number two, and then training and development is at number three. And then if we look lastly at the IT audience, high future earnings still number one among this group, training and development number two, and friendly work environment at number three. So this idea of pay and security and advancement are really, really important. I would just caveat that with saying, you know, it's not about right now. It's not transactional. And I think that's kind of the mistake that we're seeing some companies make, is it needs to be transactional. We need to pay them more and that will get them to join us, or that will get them to stay longer. I think at the end of the day, it's about the future, right? Can I grow within the organization? Can I be part of this bigger purpose? Can I help drive the company forward and ultimately work for a company that is going to respect me, take care of me, provide that safety that I'm looking for in the long term? I hope that answers your question.
It certainly does, and it really actually makes a whole lot of sense as well. Now, you'll also be releasing a list, I understand, of the most attractive employers in the U.S., which is your yearly ranking. When will that list be available and be out?
Yes, great. It is out now in the U.S., so That is extremely exciting. We have the list out now in the U.S. We have the list out for the world's most attractive employers. And so any company, they're able to go onto our website as well to see how did they rank. And what's great about data is we can show how did certain companies rank within the U.S. among business, engineering, IT. But then we also have data that allows companies to look at, yes, what does talent want? What does their target group want? But also, what are the perceptions of them as an employer? So, for example, Microsoft, if they're ranking Microsoft high, we ask them, why? What is it that you believe this company offers as an employer? And then companies are able to use that data to make changes to their messaging, to their strategy, and be able to tweak and dial up and dial down certain messages to, in a lot of cases, it's getting rid of those misperceptions. Right? It's helping candidates externally understand what it's really like to work within the organization. I think what we're finding is that the companies who can be really clear and concise and consistent in their messaging, in their value proposition, they will tend to get the right people to join their organization, to stay at the organization, and then get others to really ultimately self-select out.
Courtney, once again, we really do appreciate your taking a moment to be with us here today to give us this great insight and data and updated report on behalf of Universum. And I'm sure listeners want to know where they could actually get more information on Universum as well as have access to this full report. Where could they find that?
Yes, absolutely. They can go to our website at universumglobal.com, and we have all of the information there. They're able to see their rankings, download different white papers and reports that we've produced. So it's available on our website, Universum. It's UNIVERSUM, global.com.
And we certainly appreciate that. Courtney, all the best, and certainly look forward to our next conversation right here on Enterprise Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Eric.
Hey, you're more than welcome, and our pleasure. We've been speaking with Courtney Kutsop, Managing Director of Americas for Universum, the global leader in employer branding. And for all the details and to have access to this full report per the discussion, visit universumglobal.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.